Thank you, Rita. Our next speaker on the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes is Ju Kian, that's her first name, was a partner in a law firm and worked for many years as a corporate lawyer, so she knows how big companies function. She didn't like it and joined IPFAN 5 years ago. That was a big change from a corporate world to breastfeeding. She is the legal advisor of the International Code Documentation Center, teaching governments how to translate the international code into national law. She helps IPFAN worldwide to keep track of companies' marketing behavior. She will talk to us about code compliance, or rather, about the lack of it. Ju Kian.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, as we gather to discuss ways to improve feeding practices which impact on growth and development of children, other actors in the field are talking about growth and development of a different kind, that of sales and profitability of commercial products. These actors are the companies which produce breast milk substitutes, feeding bottles and teats, and I would like to show you how they are looking bad but behaving badly. I was just wondering whether we could have some lights, because I find it rather dark, and I think it would be much better to have some lights. Because could we have the technicians give us some light, please? Thank you. Now, the organization I represent, the International Code Documentation Center, or ICDC, was established to support the IPFAN network in their work on the implementation and monitoring of the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes and subsequent World Health Assembly resolutions. In looking at challenges and how to overcome them, I will focus solely on the marketing practices of companies. I will also explore ways of removing the threat posed by companies, and so that the aims and objectives of the global strategy on infant and young child feeding can be fulfilled. There are other weighty issues involving the code and resolutions, which I will not go into during this allocated time. For a variety of reasons, not all mothers choose to breastfeed. Promotion by companies is widely acknowledged to be one reason. It poses an ongoing challenge to anyone seeking to protect infant health. Breastfeeding rates are crawling upwards after years of concerted efforts by governments, international organizations, and citizen networks. Profits from sales of commercial products, on the other hand, are increasing by leaps and bounds. Either we are doing a poor job at promoting breastfeeding, or companies are better at marketing their products. I submit it is the latter. Companies have more monies, and they know how to do a better job. Breast milk substitutes are mostly unnecessary and are always expensive. In comparison, breast milk is natural, safe, and free. They are in competition, an unfair one, because of the financial resources which corporate machineries have at their disposal to make designer food desirable. These tools prevent, the code and resolutions are the only tools which we have to level an uneven playing field. These tools prevent a range of promotional practices from interfering with breastfeeding. The code and resolutions are a threat to companies and a lucrative market estimated to be worth $20 billion. Yet in the face of societal pressures, companies which are keen to portray themselves as responsible corporate citizens profess their support for the code. Do they? Since the code was adopted in 1981, companies have stopped some of the more blatant marketing malpractices and which they were engaging in prior to the code, but not all. Not as much as they promise, and they keep inventing new ways to get around it. If advertisements were rather upfront in the past, now we are faced with subtler messages which are just as dangerous but harder to pin down. You will see from this billboard that no product is being advertised, but the message in the slogan, "World's number one child," is clear to all. Companies are changing their tactics. Instead of outright advertising, they now produce information materials in the form of booklets and posters which display breastfeeding messages next to company names and logos. Many applaud this move as a positive act. We see it as a tactic which discourages breastfeeding. The underhanded tactic employed by companies are best encapsulated by this brochure which is distributed to doctors in Thailand. On the face of it, it states breastfeeding is best. It opens up to this infant formula, non-infant formula, which actually separates the mother, the baby from the breast. A disturbing development catching on globally is the way companies are cashing in on the emotional desire of parents to have smart children. Companies now sell intelligence in a bottle. DHA and ARA fatty acids found naturally in breast milk enhance brain development. So these acids are imitated and added to formula. Even though there are no long-term studies to substantiate these benefits, parents are willing to pay extra, sometimes up to 30% more, for the IQ promise. Apart from the IQ springboard, companies also make functional claims on products supposedly closer to breast milk to boost babies' immunities to disease and to promote health, growth, and so on. Bottle and teat companies also come under the purview of the code, but they are often overlooked and overshadowed by the antics of baby food companies, so they behave as if the code does not exist. This is an Italian ad, which has a slogan, "I want it exactly like that." Health facilities and health workers continue to be targeted for company promotion. Sponsorship of medical seminars, conferences, and medical associations is becoming more widespread, creating dependency and giving rise to conflicts of interest. Companies infiltrate healthcare facilities by giving doctors gifts and display items sporting company or brand names and logos. They are rewarded many times over by the medical endorsement which grateful health workers confer on company products. Here are some more pictures of brand promotion, this time in the form of gifts to mothers, all specially devised to entice mothers to buy products and give up breastfeeding in the process. Most of the violations shown are drawn from countries where the code and resolutions have not been implemented as national measures or where they are poorly enforced. It must be stressed that these images are just the tip of the iceberg, because for every violation reported, one can be sure there are hundreds more that went unrecorded, and for each violation recorded, there will be thousands more of the same. What is clear is that companies continue to put infant health at risk through promotion. What is also clear is that every child has the right to the best start in life, and as stated by earlier speakers, the best start begins with breastfeeding. How do we ensure that governments fully implement the code and resolutions and enforce them so that breastfeeding receives the protection, promotion, and the support it deserves? What do we do to save the lives of infants who suffer or die of malnutrition because they were not breastfed? Here, we need strategies to turn challenges into opportunities. One, we need statements about the need for code implementation, monitoring and review from international meetings such as this, so that we can keep the issue alive at the international level. The first Innocenti Declaration was successful in bringing about a surge of activities on code implementation at the national level and served as a useful advocacy tool. Every 2 years, the World Health Assembly adopts resolutions which not only tackle issues on infant feeding, but which revisit and reaffirm the international code and keep the code alive and relevant. Two, We need to stir and provoke governments into action by reporting on national progress and give greater emphasis on the duty of WHO member states to report on actions taken on code implementation. 3. We need to mobilise and encourage citizen groups to keep track of country situations and company behaviour on the ground. We need them to pressure for action when necessary. Donors need to provide adequate funding to the citizen groups to ensure their independence. 4. We need to give code training courses and technical support to countries, because even when there is political will, skills are often lacking to translate international recommendations into effective national measures. 6. We need to publicise the risk of artificial feeding. In today's La Repubblica, I've been told that there's a report that the Italian authorities have recalled 30 million litres of Nestle products, including infant formula and follow-up formula, because of contamination caused by a toxic substance found in the ink, which is contained in the packaging. This is Europe. One wonders what has become of these products in Asia and Africa. One also wonders what is to become of the infants and young children who use these products. We need, as Professor George Kenn and Dr. Urban Johnson have said, to continue with rights-based approach to the protection, promotion, and support of breastfeeding. The code has important human rights implications, and we need to convince governments that by implementing the code, the state as primary duty bearer is carrying out its obligations in respecting, protecting, and fulfilling the right to food and nutrition, as well as the right to the best attainable standard of health. Last but not least, we need to demand that companies stop undermining the right of children to good nutrition and the highest attainable standard of health. Stephen Lewis, I show this poster, the former executive director of UNICEF, said, "Those who make claims about infant formula that intentionally undermines women's confidence in breastfeeding are not to be regarded as clever entrepreneurs just doing their job, but as human rights violators of the worst kind." ICDC and the wider IPPA network has been walking the talk where the code and resolutions are concerned. Our efforts alone are obviously not enough. We have had for many years now the support of UNICEF in our code work. The challenge for us as a citizen network is to sustain that relationship. We also need to inculcate the commitment of other international agencies so that a common vision of keeping companies in line through code-based laws can be cultivated, shared, and put into action. Without that, the objectives of the global strategy to combat malnutrition would be practically impossible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jugend. Yeah, you have 2 minutes to make that announcement. Right. You were very good.
To commemorate this occasion, ICDC has compiled the full text of the International Code and the resolutions, subsequent resolutions up to 2005 into this booklet. We have also included commentaries to the resolutions so that people working in the area of infant and young child health can be suitably guided. But we have brought enough copies for everyone and more, so please help yourself. This booklet can be found at the IPFAN corner. Thank you very much.